morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have county commission meetings in Escambia County today. We have an agenda review. We have a committee of the whole. We have an afternoon meeting. I think there's going to be a mid-season picnic. They might have a best hot rod contest. When it's meeting day, it's many meetings day a lot of times. Wes Moreno, he's the county administrator for Escambia County, joins us beforehand to give us a little preview of what's on the agenda. Wes, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it's great to be here. Hey. Great ZZ Top music coming in, so we're ready to go.
I only wish we could avail ourselves of your expertise in barbecue somehow, but we haven't figured out how to do that at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, first question for you. The Doge, Florida Doge, has not come, is not coming. Do you know, I mean, have they talked to you guys at all about the county?
They have not as of yet. No, they have not.
Okay. All right. So far the answer is nothing. So, okay, fine. I was just curious. I didn't know and I was curious. Lots of big stories. Let's deal with the one that probably looks the worst but actually isn't. That's the $18 million in bad debt transferring to collections for the last year. This number has been significantly lower in the past. It's been, $10 or so million dollars in 2022, 23, 23, 24 has been $10 million. Before that, it was $7 million. Before that, it was $5 million. I understand why it is, but I want you to explain to people because they see this and they think, oh, my God, EMS is losing almost $18 million. But that's a really inaccurate way to describe what's happening, right?
It is. It really is. And that's a couple years reaching back, catching up is what that is. But it is $18 million. And, I guess the moral to the story and what we try to utilize this particular piece of information for is if you don't really need 911, don't call 911. If you don't really need an ambulance, don't call an ambulance. We still have calls, a number of calls that, hey, I need to go to the doctor, or I need to go to the hospital, and they wind up at Cordova Mall, or I can't reach my remote, or there's just a host of things. But the other important thing to know is that we're not just writing this number off. It does go to collections, and we're going to continue to collect this money as we move forward. And we do prioritize it because I got some questions. We do prioritize insurance first, and we do bill insurance companies. So what this number represents is those that are mainly uninsured and then don't pay, or their insurance only pays a portion, and then there's a delta, and they don't pay the delta. If we don't have their information at the time, they can call and leave their insurance information. So we did make a number of efforts to collect this money.
And I think, this is one of those things where the headline is like so awful, but the more you look into it, the more it doesn't really look quite as bad as it seems. One, as you said, is this is not write off. This is sent to debt collection. Now, debt collection is not going to get a lot of this. They're probably going to pull 10 or 20% in the end.
Yeah,
but this is a common enough practice. Our actual collections are consistent, 83% in 23, 80% in 24, 81% in 25, meaning of the total bill, we're actually getting, four-fifths of it collected properly. And the $18 million includes almost $7 million. It's $6.5 million that should have been transferred to bad debt in prior years, going back as much as 2.75 years. And to me, what that means is that the actual debt for this year is only about 11 to 11.5. So it's right in line with prior years. But also, that 6 should have applied previously, meaning that the 10 should have been 11 or 12 and the other 10. It's really an accounting issue. It's not that the practice has changed dramatically. Is that right?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I just, it looks scary at first glance, and it's not ideal, but as you said, people abuse the system and they don't pay. And how does our EMS collections rate or bad debt transfer, how does that compare with other EMS systems of our scope?
It's pretty comparable, not just in the area, but all across the country. Everybody's facing the same thing.
Yeah.
If you're uninsured, you're weighing, am I going to buy groceries this week? I'm going to pay the ambulance bill.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah. And I wanted to address this one first because I know it's a big headline story and I know it looks embarrassing for the commissioners and it's come up a lot before. But I, getting some clarity on the numbers, I just wanted to make sure we did that. We've had big news on the ITL, ECAP, paratransit, flex transit, that front. ITL is going to pay the $4,500 that they owe for the gas. Is that right?
They already have. Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Checks in hand. Fantastic. So what's the shape of their relationship with the county going forward? Because it seemed to me like a lot of what we learned in that big conversation was that what ITL does for paratransit is being supplanted by flex transit because the customers prefer that. What is the model going to be going forward?
So there will be a different model going forward. I will meet with, actually tomorrow morning, I'll meet with a representative from ITL, and we're going to talk about some contractual things, rates, trips, duration, as far as, you know, is it from 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. or is it from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., some of those things. So we'll modify the contract moving forward, and hopefully we will work out something that works for both of us. And they do provide a good service, they really do.
Yeah.
But we just got to get it. We just got to get it in the right place and with the right mechanisms in place, and be able to function, and them be able to do what they do, and us be able to be fiscally responsible. So that's what we're trying to do.
I assume that the goal is to let Flex Transit suck up as much business as it can because it's so much less expensive and people seem to like it. That's a free market model. How much are you planning on taking the paratransit in-house? That had been the conversation because the trip cost was so high and you guys thought in-house mm-hmm. you could do it for so much less money. Is that still on the table? Is there a share of responsibilities?
It is on the table. So, okay. You know, a lot of the trips, the folks that sign up or that are eligible, and the new folks especially, or even the existing ridership, they have a choice. They can ride paratransit, ITL, or they can ride flex transit. So they will dictate quite a bit of the ridership as it goes to flex transit or ITL. But, you know, the whole goal of flex transit also is to get into the fixed route service.
Yeah.
And so we are making some moves to do that as well.
I will tell you, understanding the difficulty of turning the direction of this giant ship of local, you know, mass transit, every time I see a flex transit vehicle driving on the road, I'm just like, yay. I feel so good about that. So anyway.
Yeah, popular service.
Yeah, no. A couple of quick updates I wanted to ask you about. Fishing pier update. How soon, when, where will we see what's happening?
If we haven't issued the notice to proceed. We're going to be issuing it pretty soon.
Okay.
And then you'll see construction start. And it's a long construction time. They probably won't be completed till about 2028 sometime.
Okay, so it's going to be a long time before that's actually. But we do have we've selected a contract. Almost ready
Absolutely.
To go. Outstanding.
Yep.
I know people are very excited. The fishing community, you know, as you know. Toll booth update. When will that deconstruction replacement start?
So bids open on October the 24th. And then we'll be looking to come to the board with an award by December, maybe a little bit before December, and then we will issue notice to proceed, and you'll probably see that work starting shortly after the first of the year.
And design appearance will be something that we'll only know after we get a contractor selected or before?
Well, it'll be the gantry system. We're not looking at a big decorative piece or anything of that nature at the moment.
Okay.
It'll be the gantry system, hopefully a sleek, slim line gantry system and some landscaping around the side and such.
Okay, as minimalist as possible is the goal, right?
Absolutely.
The Divine Farms Road Bridge and Road Project, I know that's a big thing for especially the people who live in that massive subdivision that are on the west side of the road. We've obviously got the borrow pit down at the end by I-10. People who live on that road, especially the ones that have been there for longer, this has been a big issue. Is that bridge in process? It's on the where are we at?
It's in process. So there's two phases in that bridge. The first phase will be completed by the end of the calendar year. And it requires, sheet piles and riprap. And they're going to come in and set the structure on phase one. And then after the first year, we'll start phase two, which is basically doing the same thing on the opposite side of the road. And then that's about a 6 to 7 month window. Then it'll be hopefully be completed in about that time frame.
Okay. All right. I mean, I know the folks who live. Nothing in construction ever happens as fast as we want. You know,
it never
ever does.
It's been difficult. We run into some issues.
Nor as cheaply as we want. I mean, both things are true. Costco, the deal with them coming to the Chemstrand and 9 Mile location, apparently there needs to be some adjustment to Chemstrand because of access needs and FDOT, but Chemstrand is under reconstruction right now. Are you guys going to have to, like, tear up what you've already done and redo it? Is it going to be built into the current? What's happening? What has to happen on Chemstrand by 9 Mile to make this work?
So I think if they're to requesting two left-hand turn lanes, if you're going north on Chemstrand from Johnson, I think they're requesting two left-hand turn lanes. They're requesting some things coming off of, the road going to the north. It escapes me at the moment. But they also want to extend the turn lane. Coming, if you're going east on 9 Mile Road, they want to extend that turn lane as well.
Okay.
So we're in negotiations there with some of those improvements that they're requesting, and we'll continue to negotiate with them. Our goal is we'll contribute to the project, but not necessarily have to construct the project.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it seems like this is a Costco issue, right? Like, you know, that seems like
that's it.
I mean, why should a business coming to town require the county to spend money to accommodate the business coming to town? It seems kind of weird. But my question is, I know again, Chemstrand is like I think it's still in process. It's been a month or two since I drove it. But are we going to be able to, you know, adapt the remodel to incorporate these changes to cut costs, or is it going to really be we have to redo it over?
I think closer to the intersection of 9 Mile, you might see some redo.
Okay. All right. Very good. Cameras at Pensacola Beach that the sheriff talked about on Tuesday. That's on the agenda for today. A second wave of cameras so that they can connect to the real-time crime center, right?
Yeah, it is. It's on the agenda today. That was a request from the Sheriff's Department, and Commissioner Hoffberger actually funded that out of some of her discretionary money. And so we are moving forward with that, and that should be in place shortly.
And the Committee of the Whole is going to be a conversation about economic development in Florida West. Is that right?
Yeah, economic development and job growth, yeah.
Speaking of that, where are we on OLF-8? It seemed like, you know, it's flurry, discussion, controversy, decision, and then silence. Where are we?
They've been doing a lot of due diligence.
Okay.
We've had staff meeting them out there, letting them on the property. They've been on the property numerous times doing the due diligence, their geotechnical survey, environmental, all those things. They've been actively working out there.
Okay, so we're in the process of getting ready to make it actually happen for them to take ownership and start doing things. But, you know, this doesn't look like anything, but this is the part that has to happen first, right?
Yeah, this is the part that it's working, but nobody really sees it. Yeah.
Very good. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. We got several meetings today, the agenda review this morning and the Committee of the Whole meeting this morning, and then the actual regular meeting tonight. Public input is at 4:30, regular meetings at 5:30. Wes, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for spending a little bit of explanation for folks. I know that they have a lot more questions even than I can ask you, but I appreciate you getting up early and talking with us, sir. So we'll talk to you next time.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.